Entertaining Adelaide here on Coast FM.
Yes, you are on Coast FM Sports Cap. And our next guest, I'm really excited to have a chat with Izzy Bat-Doyle. She's an Olympian who made her debut at the Tokyo Olympics, competing in the 5,000 metres. Izzy's also a Bay Sheffield ambassador for the SA Athletics League, and she's going to be competing at the Bay Sheff later this year. So it'll be really great to hear her running story and see how she's preparing for the run at the Bay Sheff at Glenelg Oval. Izzy, how are you going tonight?
Hi, Ben. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, going really well, thanks. Thanks for coming on, and congratulations about competing in the Olympic Games in Tokyo. Before we talk about the Games, I'm really interested just to hear about your running story. How did you get into running, and were you always focused on the longer events?
Yeah, so I actually started my running journey here in Adelaide when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I signed up to Little Athletics. My older sister went out there, and I just did like any younger sister does. I followed her out there and just, yeah, had a great time. I had pretty sporty parents, so they were definitely role models to me. I remember when I was 9 years old, I ran the City of the Bay 6 kilometres with my stepdad, Chris, and we held hands the whole way, and we're actually in the paper with our picture, so it was very exciting and fun. And, yeah, I just loved running. I did all the events at Little Athletics, shot put, high jump, but, yeah, running was what made me the happiest, and I was the best at it. So, naturally, as the events got longer and longer, I felt more confident and, yeah, just continued to run the longer distances.
Is there a clear pathway for the junior runners in the States to get through to state and Australian selection teams?
Look, it's not. It is quite a tricky one. And so when I was 18 years old, I actually took an opportunity to take a scholarship to go and study and run in America. So I lived in America for 5 years from when I was 18 to 23. And I took a scholarship over there and had an amazing time there. And it can be quite challenging, actually, for junior athletes, especially in athletics here in SA and in Australia, because there's not really a clear pathway for those junior athletes to then move up to the senior ranks. And a lot of the time we do unfortunately see athletes dropping out when they finish school just because the commitment gets too great and they've got other things going on in their lives. And running can be, you know, it's not necessarily a professional sport for a lot of people. It's an amateur, having fun. So it can be hard to make a career out of it. I'm very lucky, to call myself professional athlete, but it's definitely taken years of hard work and definitely not a clear path to get there like some other sports do.
Izzy, that must have been quite a daunting experience. Jump on a plane, go to the States, young girl, big town, big country, the United States, plenty going on over there. How did you make a success of that? Were there some really tough times that you really questioned the validity of your strategy to go to the States?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, I wanted to have an extraordinary life, and I knew when that opportunity presented itself, it was one that I wanted to grab with both hands and take it on. But, you know, living over to New York City when I was 18 years old and saying goodbye to my family and my parents and, you know, a life that I was very comfortable in Adelaide was very challenging. And the first few months over there, you know, I cried every day. I missed my family so much. And over the years when I was away, I grew a lot as a person and as an athlete, but I had some very challenging times. I actually had 6 stretch fractures in my feet over the course of 2 years, so I had a lot of injuries, and that was definitely, yeah, some challenging points for me when I couldn't run and I was on crutches and in a boot and, you know, hobbling around campus in the snow so far away from home. But, yeah, definitely made me a lot stronger, and I'm very grateful for the experiences that I had.
Mm. So were you doing swimming or other other things to try and stay fit, to keep off your feet? It must be horrible injury for a runner.
Broken feet is not fun.
No.
But, yeah, definitely, I got in the pool and on the bike and in the gym and did what I could. You know, as athletes, we always have to just be adaptable and try and make the most of what's available. So, yeah, definitely lots of cross-training in those months when I was injured, but nothing's the same as running.
The college scholarships, is that a usual course of progress for the good Australian young talent coming through now? Is it realisable? And are many doing it?
Look, when I did it, I didn't know a lot of people that had done it. I knew a handful of people and, you know, got a lot of kind of advice from them. But these days, you do see a lot of Australian junior athletes, you know, especially within athletics, but other sports too, taking up those opportunities. And I think the world now, you know, is so connected through the internet that, you know, coaches can watch videos and recruit athletes from other countries without even, you know, having met them. And they love having international athletes on their team. So, yeah, it's definitely becoming a lot more common. And you don't have to be the best athlete, you know, in your state or whatever to actually get those opportunities. Maybe to get the, you know, a full scholarship at a really good top university. But there are plenty of opportunities, you know, across the board because there are so many universities in America. You know, there's a lot of opportunities available.
Mm. And you mentioned growing up as a junior, Izzy, that you were liked all the track and field, but running was your love and you were very good at it. Is it something with, especially in juniors, everyone grows and develops at a different rate. Do you find you know, you get some juniors that come out of left field when you're competing and it's you're not always competing against the same good runners?
Definitely, and I think that one thing I tell, you know, younger athletes when I go to visit little athletics clinics or that kind of thing is that, you know, when I was a junior, I wasn't winning races. Like, I was just there and I was consistent and showing up. But, you know, the names at the top of the list from those years, they came and went, you know, kind of different people all the time, you know, doing well, and then you don't see them for a few years or, you know, they go from the sport completely. So it's interesting to see how people come and go. But definitely, you know, it's not about being the best when you are a junior. It's just about, you know, having fun, enjoying it, staying consistent, making progress and trying to compare yourself to, you know, to you only, because everyone's going through their growth and their journey at different stages. So very important just to try and see, you know, personal progress.
And does coaching have a big difference in running styles? I'm assuming that a lot of juniors will naturally run in a certain way, but just tweaking their running style could make a big difference in performance?
Yeah, I think it's probably more about attitude and just enjoying it than you know, than your running style or anything. A lot of people, you know, think that maybe their running style is not great, but really, you know, the more you run, the fitter you get, the more efficient of a runner that you will be. And so if it's working for you, you don't really need to change your style. You might, you know, there might be a few pointers like, you know, making sure you're looking ahead and, you know, not waving your arms around like you're swimming in the air. You know, there are definitely some things that make a big difference, but generally speaking, you know, it's more just about having fun, enjoying it and just showing up consistently.
Izzy, can you give us a quick view of a typical 7-day a week training program for you? What that
Look,
looks like in terms of...
Don't try this one at home. So my typical week is about 150 kilometres of running a week on average. So I run every day. I did in the past take rest days and sometimes I take them when I need to. But my training is very much... people would be surprised to know that, you know, of the 150 kilometres that I run a week, 90% of it is just easy running, chatting, talking pace, you know, not strenuous work. I do two really hard sessions a week on Tuesday and Friday mornings, and they are more of a kind of VO2 max and a threshold session. So an example might be doing, you know, 8x1 kilometre repeats at a high intensity, and then on Friday it could be a 30-minute threshold at kind of my threshold pace, which is, you know, my kind of half marathon pace. So, and then a long run on Sunday of about 30 kilometres. So it's spread across the days, and some days I run twice a day, some days it's just one run. But, yeah, lots of running, and I do try and get a bit of strength work in there as well to keep the body resilient and strong.
Wow. So you're running up to 150 kilometres a week, and you're also co-founder and one of the coaches of Runners One. Why did you decide to create this new business? And do you focus on particular runners and certain distances with the Runners One team?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting story, actually. We weren't really planning on starting Runners One. So my partner, Riley Cox, he's also a very good runner himself. He's a South Australian half marathon record holder. We, last year in 2020, Riley started coaching a friend of his, and then, you know, I was kind of helping my mum out, And suddenly this group formed from a couple of friends and family to 20 people, and then we named it, and then, you know, opened it up to more people in the running community. And now we have over 220 runners in our community, which is outstanding. And, like, you know, I love it so much. But it's not something that we didn't really have this vision for. It just kind of happened. And now, yeah, we're so lucky to be working with lots of different runners of all abilities. And that's really why I came up with the name Run As One, is because being an elite athlete, sometimes running feels quite selfish. And it's all about me, all about, you know, what I'm doing. But I really wanted to share running with other people, with my mum, with people of any kind of ability. So we've got, you know, guys in the group who are running sub 15 minutes for 5K, you know, really good runners. And we've got women who are, you know, getting out for a park run and doing 35 minutes for park running for their 5K. So it's a very wide variety of paces and ages and abilities. But the best thing is that everyone comes together and has a good time.
Izzy, what advice would you give a junior or senior runner looking to engage a coach and improve their running performance? What do they look for?
Oh, look, I think I've worked with a lot of coaches over the years, and I was very fortunate when I was in America the last 6 months to have a female coach called Marisa, and she was fantastic for me. And I think what was different about her is that she instilled so much confidence in myself. And I felt like she really believed in me and just gave me the confidence that I needed to believe in myself. So I think it's very important for anyone, you know, when they're looking for a coach, if they're, you know, looking to up their game, is just to make sure that, you know, they're finding someone who they mesh with well on a personal level. Because if you know, get on well with each other and you respect each other, it's going to be a good working relationship. So I think that's very important. And then obviously just, you know, obviously finding someone who's maybe been there before, whether, you know, they've worked with people, you know, who have achieved the goals that you want to achieve or have run the distances that you want to run, and have some experience in the area that you're looking to be doing. So, yeah, but I think it's all about, it really is all about enjoying yourself. And I think the environment and culture and, you know, the training environment is very important for runners at any age, but especially junior athletes. You know, having a really supportive and healthy environment to train in is critical.
Mm. And being an Olympian and 5,000 metres racing, you obviously would have a good support team. What is your support team in the way of coaches and currently and also leading up into the Olympics?
Yes, I'm very lucky. I think that, look, you know, it really takes a village. You know, I couldn't have got to the Olympics on my own. I, for one, have got incredibly supportive parents who have been with me, you know, every step of my journey, encouraging me to go and take opportunities like going overseas to America to live, you know, encouraging me to go overseas this year and chase the qualifying time and achieve my dreams. They've really been very supportive, and I wouldn't be where I am today without them. Also, my partner, Riley, he also has been working in kind of a role as a coach for me for the last year. And so he's very helpful in terms of just making sure that I know where I'm getting my training done, what I'm doing, you know, all the kind of nitty-gritty things that we have to work out on a daily basis. And he's always there to tell me, you know, if I'm tired, maybe to have an easy day or have a day off. Having that voice of reason is very important. I'm also very lucky to have Nick Badeau, who's in Melbourne, as my kind of coach, who sets my training sessions, and he's also my manager, so he organises my race entries and, you know, my sponsorships and that sort of thing. So he's got a lot of expertise in, you know, decades of working in the sport. He's worked with a lot of athletes, you know, many national champions, many Olympians, and, he's got a lot of advice, which is very helpful to have. Also, my support team, you know, the whole Runners One community is very important to keeping me motivated and inspired every day. And I think that for me personally, I get a massage every week. That's part of my my treatment that I need to handle the volume that I do. So I'm lucky to have a great sports masseuse who helps me make sure my body stays in one piece. Lots of people involved in the team, but that's kind of the key ones. And my training partner, I've got a great training partner, Bryn. He leads me through all my really hard sessions, and I just don't think I could have done, you know, the hard work that was necessary to really hit those qualifying times this year. So very grateful to have great people to run with every day.
Izzy, having your partner on your coaching team, does that give rise to disputes from time to time where the coach has to put the hard instructions down and cause a little bit of discontent from time to time?
Yeah, I think it's always interesting when you have, relationships that have, blend from personal into kind of business or in this sense into sport. But I think that it makes a relationship stronger. You get to know someone really well. And the good thing is that Riley knows me, so well that he can really tell when I need that extra support or a little bit more rest or when I can be pushed a little harder. But that's why it's great having Nick because, I've kind of got two coaches and they can kind of work together. It's not just one person kind of telling me what to do. And as a runner, a lot of it is quite intuitive and I have to be quite self-driven and self-motivated. So while they can kind of give me great advice and kind of lead me in the right direction and tell me what they think I should do, most of the time, I really have to make the decisions when it comes down to it.
Mm. And 2021's been a terrific year for you, making your Olympic debut. But what about, how did you feel after running 15.11? So you missed the qualifying time by 1 second in Melbourne back in March. And how did you qualify for the 5,000-metre race?
Yeah, so to give some context, last year, actually in 2019, I had two broken feet. I was very crippled. I didn't run for about 6 months. And, if the Olympics had gone ahead in 2020, I would not have been on the team. So when the Olympics were postponed to 2021, it was actually a silver lining for me because it gave an opportunity for me to actually have a chance to qualify. In saying that, I was still quite far away. My personal best a year ago was 15.41, and you have to run under 15.10 and be top three in Australia to actually have a chance of being on the team. So this year, I broke the state record. I ran 15.26, and I was over the moon. And then I ran in Melbourne, as you said, ran 15.11. That was 1 second off the qualifying time. I won that race, and it was very mixed emotions because I was so thrilled to run a personal best and a new state record again. But also just to come so agonisingly close of 1 second missing that qualifying time. It was definitely quite annoying. But what it meant was that I actually got on a plane 3 weeks later and went to Europe. I took a big risk and knowing that I got an exemption to travel from the government and knowing that I had to be overseas for 3 months, whether I made the Olympics or not, I would have to stay overseas. And if I didn't make the Olympics, it was going to be quite a hefty bill for me to come home and organise flights and quarantine myself. But luckily, that first week overseas in the Netherlands, I won my first race, a 5,000-metre run on the track. I ran 15.04 to improve my personal best and run 6 seconds under the qualifying time and essentially booked my ticket to Tokyo. So that was just an incredible moment to finally realise, a lifelong dream of making the Olympics, and that's definitely a highlight of my career so far, and I will never forget that moment of crossing the line and just feeling like, so many emotions at once, relief, happiness, excitement, and also a bit of sadness because my family obviously weren't there to watch me, but they were at home watching the live stream, up at 4 a.m, so I knew they were all right behind me.
Oh, well done.
Must have been very challenging preparing for the Olympics there, not knowing if the event was going ahead and how to keep yourself motivated with the training program and committed and so forth. How did you deal with that mentally?
Yeah, look, I think it all comes down to the fact that I just love to run. If I didn't love what I did every day, it would be very challenging. But if I had a race, next week or if I didn't have a race next week or next year, I don't think it would really matter. I would still run every day. I just love to run. It would be challenging to put in the really hard sessions and to, really go, to the well where you're really kind of hurting yourself. But look, I love it and I'm so fortunate that I get to do it every day and I feel very grateful, especially going through so many injuries and having so much time off in the last, 5 years. Whenever I'm healthy and able to run, I really don't take it for granted. So I'm just, always very grateful. But it was challenging, and I think more so in 2020, just not knowing if we had any races on the calendar or if we'd be able to travel. It was just so much uncertainty. And even when I went overseas this year in May to qualify and was racing overseas, there was always that, fear hanging over you, thinking, what if the games don't go ahead? What if something happens? We were hearing of Japan being a state of emergency or the lockdowns. We were seeing the numbers go up and up. And so it was quite concerning. But it was amazing that it went ahead. Japan did an absolutely fantastic job of putting the games on. It was so sad that there weren't spectators there to enjoy everything that had been put on in Japan. But we were just so lucky that it went ahead.
Yeah, and the actual racing itself, Is it something that you're very clear on how the other runners will race? And do you have a set strategy for running those big races?
Well, look, for someone like me, the Olympics was actually my first really big international event. I've represented Australia at two World University Games before, but they're a slightly kind of lower level of competition, just because it's, you know, you have to be in university and you have to be under 25 years old. So this was really the first big international race for me. And to be honest, I was actually quite nervous then. I was really quite overwhelmed. But I'm really obviously very proud of how I handled myself out there. And but I didn't really know how to prepare for that mentally because it was the first time I'm experiencing it. And look, you can watch videos and see what's been done in previous years before and have an idea, but you never really know what's going to happen. And the thing is, you know, I'm there as a 15-minute 5K run it, which, you know, I know is a very, very good time. But the women's world record is 14:06. Wow. And so there are Ethiopians and Kenyans lining up right next to me who are, you know, world record holders, and they can run a minute faster than me. So, you know, when they're going out at a pace that, you know, they go out at a pace that's comfortable for them, and then, you know, the rest of the field kind of gets blown apart whenever they want to make a move. So it's a bit interesting. It's not anything like I've experienced before. A lot of the races here in Australia, or, you know, in the lead up to my Olympic debut, you know, I was winning races, or, you know, second or third. So I hadn't really experienced being in a race before, kind of like that, where, you know, you're up against really incredible world-class competition. And it was, yeah, a great experience for me, and I think I'll be a lot more equipped for the next time around. But, you know, the whole thing for me was just qualifying for the Olympics, being there and running the best that I could on the day. And I think I went in ranked 28th, and I finished 28th overall in the 5K. So I pretty much ran to the form board, and I really wanted to run a personal best. I felt like I was definitely in my best shape ever. But unfortunately, it was incredibly humid. It was 98% humidity and about 33 degrees Celsius. So it made it very unfavourable to run, you know, a best time. So I was a few seconds off my best time, but have to be proud of the effort I put in.
Mm. Oh, well done.
Is your intention to continue on for the next 3 or 4 years and make another Olympic team?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming position yourself up in Europe for some seasons of competing up there?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I'm very lucky. Look, I'm 26 years old. I feel like I've got years ahead of me in the sport, hopefully, if my body can stay with me. So I'm looking all the way to Brisbane 2032. I think having the opportunity to run at a home games is pretty incredible. So while that's, you know, a little while away now, we've got a few more Olympics between now and then. I have full intentions of having a long career in the sport. I'm definitely hoping to earn a spot on the team for Paris. And in the next year, we've got the World Championships next year in Eugene and the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. So, I'll be working very hard to try and earn a spot on those teams too.
Wow, lots on. And obviously with the Bay Sheffield at Glenelg Oval, you're going to be competing in December in that event. What are you looking forward to about competing at Glenelg Oval, Izzy?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Actually, this Sunday I'm running my first half marathon in Melbourne, and that's going to be, you know, a lot of fun. And then my next race in the schedule after that will be the Bay Sheffield, which is, you know, much shorter distance, 3,200 metres or 1,600 metres for the mile. So, you know, really a quick short effort versus, you know, a half marathon or even a 5K. So it'll be a bit different for me, but I'm really looking forward to it because I have never done, I've never run the Bay Sheffield before. I've never done the pro running before. The handicap running, as they call it. So I think it's just interesting. It's something different. You know, I'm used to being in a race where the best person wins, the fastest person wins. And in handicap running, that's not the case. You know, it's really anyone's day. It depends on, you know, what handicap you get and, you know, just so many factors. So I think it's very interesting for people to watch. So, you know, hopefully you can put on a bit of a show and people can get excited and who knows who'll get the win. But it would just be fun to do something different for me, I think.
And the double mile, the 3,200, I've heard that you might be racing against another Olympian.
Yeah, I was actually, usually it would be a women's and a men's field separately. So I think that may be confirmed, you know, what they're doing there. But Yeah, it'll be interesting either way, see what happens.
Yeah, so Steve Clark that will be...
Matt Clark.
Yeah. Matthew Clark that will be running. So we've got two Olympians running together, and the men's and women's in the 3200 will be competing together down at Glenelg Oval. So that's going to be probably a first, I'd say, Izzy.
Yeah, well, it's the first time they're having the 3200 event on the calendar. So that will be, yeah, really good for kind of the, you know, longer distance athletes to have a run. You know, usually with the mile being the longest event, it kind of, you know, people like myself wouldn't get to run because it's just too short. So having the 3200 is a great event because it brings in more athletes. And, yeah, great that, you know, to have two Olympians competing at the Bay Chef is great. And, yeah, hopefully you can... good viewing for the spectators.
What sort of penalty will Matt Clark be given to give you in advance of that race, is he?
Look, I'm not sure. I don't really understand all the handicaps all that much. From my calculations, the back marker is, I think the most that you can have is 640 metres. Which makes it a bit challenging because essentially I would have no hope if that's the case if they're running the girls and boys together, unfortunately. But, yeah, if that's the way it is, then that's all right. But I think that, yeah, the back marker I would imagine would be Matt or Isaac Hain. And yeah, the kind of the least amount of running you can do is, having a 640-metre start, I believe. But I'm still learning it all. It's new to me, so apologies if I got that incorrect.
No, it should be exciting to see that distance of running and to see where people are placed because obviously with the handicap, the aim is by the handicapper to try and get everyone finish close to the same time.
Yeah. That's the goal, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And obviously all your times are up there, and so would Matt. So they should be pretty good at being able to pick your handicap. And just on running with the SA Athletics League have competitions all over the state. So we've got the Brighton Foot Race Carnival at Brighton Oval on the 17th of December coming up. And no doubt you've probably got a number of runners from Runners One that might compete in SA Athletics League. Why should runners consider joining such leagues and competitions?
Yeah, look, we actually had a few Runners One athletes taking part in the event just a few weeks ago, and we've got a few, quite a handful lined up to do the Bay Sheffield. And I think, you know, the main reason to get involved in these events is because, you know, it's the beauty of it is that anyone could win. You know, just because, I might have the fastest time does not mean I'm going to win. So I think it's a really fun opportunity for people to get involved and have some fun and, you know, just kind of run their hearts out. You know, the tactics of running in a handicap race, you know, I think are not really the same as running on in a normal race on the track when you're all starting together. Because, you know, you really just have to run as hard as you can for the amount of running that you've got. And that's all that you can do. And so I think it makes for a really fun and exciting race. And, you know, it can come down to the last lap where, you know, it might look like someone's way out in front and there's no chance that they'll be caught, but they do get caught or they don't and, you know, someone steals the show. And I just think it's very exciting because it's so unpredictable. And it's, yeah, a great opportunity for runners to get involved in, you know, a different sort of competition than they might be used to in a standard racing format.
Izzy, it's been terrific to have you on the show. We may finish up with a mad minute where we're looking for a quick response to a question or a statement that we give you. And we'll start that off with your most admired runner.
Look, this one at the moment has to be Jen Gregson. She tore her Achilles at the Olympics. She was my roommate. And she's just an incredible, incredible role model to other runners. I've looked up to her for ages. So, Jen Gregson.
And you're the funniest Olympic teammate.
Oh, it has to be Rose Davies. She was also in the 5K and we spent 3 months together, rooming together all through Europe, and she is just hilarious.
Most surprising sight at the Olympics?
Probably what people were eating in the dining hall.
Why? Can we ask why it was surprising?
just surprising to be, you know, you look at someone and then you see their plate and they just, there were so many options to eat from that, you know, you just kind of just, it was always interesting, I guess maybe not surprising, but just interesting, to see, you know, people's food choices, what they were eating, you know, and just seeing the dining hall was just, you know, crazy, crazy. People were everywhere. It was just chaos, but also so much fun and just the best people watching. So I'm not sure if it's really surprising, but it was just, I think, yeah, just interesting.
And what about quarantining, being in quarantine? Oh,
I think I got lucky. I did quarantine in Howard Springs in Darwin. And we, you know, we couldn't exercise, couldn't go for a run or anything like that. But we had little decks, so I could lay in the sun, you know, have fresh air. We had really nice food delivered to us every day. So I felt like we were actually quite well looked after.
Bay Sheffield Carnival?
Well, I don't know much about it. I'm excited to give it a go myself. I've been a spectator for a few years. I've watched Riley, you know, win the mile out there. I've watched, Jacob, his brother, come second. But, you know, it's my turn to have a run. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Mm. And favourite running track in South Australia?
Oh, it's a tough one. But in South Australia, it probably has to be out in Karakalinga. I've got a beach house there. We spend some time over the summer. And just, I love running on the dirt roads out of Normanville, an area called Hay Flat. It's beautiful dirt roads to run out there. It's lovely scenery.
And finally, best advice for young runners?
Have fun, you know, enjoy it. Don't compare yourself to other people. And just make sure, you know, you're striving for personal growth and personal improvement, you know, every year, every season. You know, every time you get a PB, celebrate it. But, you know, just keep enjoying it and having fun because I think that a lot of the time, you know, you don't have to be the best runner, but if you stay at it, you know, you never know what could happen. I certainly was not the best runner, you know, at any stage in my running career as a junior, but I stuck at it and I had fun. I enjoyed it. I worked hard and I've ended up, you know, making the Olympics and here I am today. So just, yeah, have fun, work hard, but really enjoy it.
Oh, terrific. Izzy Bat-Doyle, we really appreciate you spending time tonight to give us some insights into your running, and the Bay Chef is going to be a great event having you and also Matt Clark and others running in it. We really do appreciate it, and we love the quote from your Runners One website: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I think it's a great quote, and good on you, and all the best in your running over the next few years.
Thanks so much, Ben. Yeah, definitely encourage people to come out to Glenelg Oval and, you know, on the 27th and 28th of December, come and watch me run, come and watch all of us run. It's going to be some exciting races to watch. So, yeah, come out and give us a cheer.
Thanks, Izzy.
Good on you,
Thank
Izzy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.